I've never seen you so happy. Touchdown!
Hey guys, and welcome back to Hot Marriage Cool Parents for another week with an amazing guest. Okay, so last week we had Marsha Cross on, and it was incredible. I just love her transparency and her passion.
I've never met a woman that loves her anus more.
I mean, Douglas, but I mean, I'm learning.
It has to become a normal conversation. That's what she said.
That's true. It's very true. I'm learning to love my anus more myself, and I should potentially get my anus checked because—
We all should.
Yeah, actually, we all should, but I do have hemorrhoids, which I whisper like that's like, me and my whispering. But we have an amazing guest on today, and we're not going to spend too much time chit-chatting prior to having her on because we had such a long, in-depth, beautiful, meaningful conversation with her.
A lot of important topics.
Yeah. Her name's Gina Wilder, and she is a Haitian woman who married a white man, and she has obviously biracial children, and she adopted a white daughter. And some of the stories that she has to share about the adoption process, what it's like to be a black mom to a white daughter, it's really revealing, like the times that we're growing up in. And I've really, ever since I've seen George Floyd, I've really been on my own personal mission to combat racism in myself, but also grow, like raise my babies to be anti-racist and proactively be like, you know, pro-black, pro-yellow, pro-gray, purple, like every color. Like, the color of your skin is the color of your skin. We should see it. We should love it. We should appreciate it, but we shouldn't judge based on it. And that's what I've kind of come to know myself. I'm still learning an awful lot. I'm a wide open book when it comes to learning. And
well, before we get to Gina, though, we do want to read a 5-star review, which we love giving shout outs to a 5-star review.
Every week we do.
This week comes from Idaho Mama Bear, who writes, "Love this couple and the podcast. I recently stumbled on Married at First Sight and fell in love with Doug and Jamie. I was so excited to find out they were still together and had a podcast. I have a 3-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter, and I love how open and honest they are on the podcast. The podcast honestly keeps me sane at my full-time job, which is housekeeping in a hospital. Please keep being you and keep me entertained. Thank you."
Oh, that's amazing. She works in a hospital.
Idaho Mama Bear, thank you so much for reaching out.
Yeah, and thank you so much for being on the front lines in the midst of a pandemic. I honestly think that the housekeepers in hospitals get the least amount of praise. And I remember when this pandemic hit, I like specifically wanted to like thank them because I feel like nurses and doctors and everyone gets all the, they get all the praise, but the housekeepers go in and they clean up like the bodily fluids.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. And so, I mean, just having worked with housekeepers before, I mean, you are saints. Thank you so much for all that you do. Yeah. And thanks for the 5-star review. That's really, really kind of you. But yeah, what I was saying prior to that was that we really wanted to have Gina on because, well, first of all, I follow her account on Instagram. As you know, a lot of our guests come from just people that I genuinely love to follow on Instagram. And I started following her, I don't even know, maybe even a year ago at this point. And I just have been so inspired by her open, vulnerable chat about she's very transparent about like what it's like to be a black woman married to a white man having biracial children. And so I really wanted to bring her on to chat a little bit more about that because it's really eye-opening and also maybe the
educational.
The more we talk about adoption, maybe one day Doug will be interested in it. We'll see. I really have it on my heart to one day, if not adopt, definitely foster. I definitely want to do that. I just feel like it's in my heart. But anyways, before we bring her on, I just wanted to let you know that we started this interview. First of all, she just announced today, the day that we're recording this interview. I'm so transparent with you guys on this podcast. I just think it's so much better. I mean, you have to let us know, but like, I feel like it's so much better to be transparent and not to be all buttoned up because like, it's a podcast. We're hanging out with you in your earbuds while you're walking, while you're working, whatever it is. Like, we can all just hang. I don't have to pretend to be like some super professional podcaster. Like, we're really just here to hang with you. Anyways, she had just announced on Instagram that she has suffered a loss, a miscarriage. And so, of course, I emailed her and I was like, if you don't want to have this interview, I totally understand. but she decided that, you know, she was going to come on and that it was fine, and which I can really appreciate her just wanting to shed light on the topic because, you know, it's already an isolating time, but when you suffer from a loss, as many of you mamas out there listening know, that is extremely isolating and excruciatingly painful. And so I wanted to give her the out, but she wanted to come on anyway. So I'm so happy to have her on. And also she has really, really exciting news that I happened to just come across before we even started recording. And so I was like, can I actually share all of this conversation with you? So talk about full transparency on this podcast. I'm going to share with you from the moment we hit record. We hit record while we're just chit-chatting with them. Well, typically like when it's someone like Gina, we can actually just have a conversation with. She's just super easy to talk to. We'll hit record and then, you know, we'll test out the mics and stuff. But we just had such a good conversation with her. We didn't even test out the mics. We just,
yeah, it needs to be in.
Yeah, we just are going to let it flow so you can hear the whole entire conversation.
Yes.
And her exciting news. I'm so excited for you guys.
On Lifetime. Let's get Gina on.
Yes, let's get Gina on. Just genuinely so sorry for your loss. You know, I can't imagine like what that's like to go through like during a pandemic, you know, like it's just, it's hard enough already, but then to then be already so isolated. I'm so, so sorry. I just like my heart goes out to you. When I saw your post, my heart just broke for you. I know it's not easy. It's rough. And there just really aren't any good words.
I know. And like even writing it was kind of hard too, because I've just had a couple months to kind of just be able to feel it, and so I finally felt comfortable with talking about it. And then, so I don't know, we're actually even pregnant right now, and so it's just kind of
congratulations.
It was just kind of thanks. So it was just, I don't know, it's just hard because I already don't like, we've moved to a new area, we don't have any friends or family around here, and so just like having a miscarriage during pandemic, like it's, I'm not saying it's harder, but it is hard. It's just hard. It's just a different hard. And so it was just kind of like the thing where I'm like, I would never wish a miscarriage on anyone, but especially not during a pandemic, because you don't even have the support that you need.
Exactly. And like, you can't even really, if you felt more comfortable seeing a therapist, you don't even get to see a therapist because everything's just remote. You don't even feel safe going to see a therapist. I can't imagine. I'm everything. And I think you can say it's harder because everything's harder in the pandemic, like literally everything is. So my heart just goes out to you. Yeah, but congrats. Is it known that you're pregnant right now?
No, it's not.
Okay,
so
we don't have to share that if you don't want to.
Yeah, I'm not ready to share yet.
Okay.
We're just a little bit.
You mean you don't want to announce it on
our
Hot Marriage Cool Parents first? Before any of your social media channels?
Or your family, maybe? I don't know. Yeah,
when does this podcast come out?
The podcast will come out. So we have this week's something, and then next week we have Marsha Cross, and then you're coming out. So it'll be
3 weeks.
About 3 weeks out.
I'm okay with talking about it because I'll probably announce it. We're looking at announcing it probably on New Year's.
Because
I get really sick, and that's probably why like I've been kind of like almost dormant on Instagram just because I have HD, and so.
Oh my gosh, Gina, I'm so sorry.
What is that?
That's okay. Hyperemesis. She's just throwing up an awful lot.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh.
So, like, medication a couple hours ago, and so I could even, like, talk on the phone just because I'm sleeping. Either I'm sleeping or I'm nauseous and throwing up all day.
Oh, so, mama.
But it's also like a blessing because that means everything's going great.
Yes.
Like I'm okay with that because it's like, okay, like this is what I want. I know this is what I want. And it's like the blessing. Like it sucks. HG is just, it's horrible. Like every pregnancy symptom that you have, it's like times 20.
Did this happen with your other pregnancies?
Yeah. And this one's probably the most mildest because I've already lost about 10 pounds. And I'm on track to probably lose another 15 to 20. And I'm onto the hospital yet. But that's just because I've been diligent on taking my medicine. And anytime I can, like, drink water, I drink water. But I don't know how much longer I'll be able to sustain drinking water because eventually I have to go in to get fluids and medication and CPR. But I really don't want to do that because of the pandemic. I don't want to expose myself. And so,
I mean, My heart, you are going through so much so fast, all at the same, but.
And I can't, I mean, now I can't complain about just having two kids that keep us up a little bit at night.
Yeah, no, we complain about nothing over here. My heart goes out to you.
You definitely complain. It's because my husband and I were looking at the last 3 years and we're like, man, we've accomplished a lot, we've done a lot. And he's like, you know why, right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? We've just pushed ourselves. He's like, no, we haven't had a kid. We having young kids in the home, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Like, even right now, I'm looking at my kids. It's like, my youngest is, she's turning 4. I can do so much more now than I could have 3 years ago.
Thank you for that, because that gives us hope. But there is so much joy, of course, as you know, with like the infancy and the baby stage. I'm like already like, I don't know, like I have this like weird, I mean, I feel like we haven't even done an introduction. I could just talk, like you're so easy to talk to. So we'll do the introduction. We hit record, by the way, about 5 minutes ago, but just FYI, but we don't have to put anything in that you wouldn't want in. It sounds like you're okay with everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure. But yeah, like I'm already like, you know, our oldest daughter's 3 and I'm like already just, I don't know what it is. And maybe this will go away, but like, I'm just like grieving about like, this is ridiculous of me. And I know that, but I'm kind of just like grieving like that she's not a baby anymore. And I see our son Hendrix and he's 6 months. Well, he just turned 7 months old. And I'm like, already, he's still a baby, but I'm still, but I'm already like so sad that he's growing up. And I'm like, Jamie, chill. He's a baby. Like, what is wrong with you? But, yeah.
And this is just personal me. I end up grieving more, like my babies not being babies more when I'm not done having kids. And so like when, as I was with the first two, I was grieving a lot. And then by the time we got the third and then we ended up getting a fourth by adopting. So like the more kids I had and like the closer we are getting to being done, like growing our family, the less I kind of grieve. And so that's just my personal take on it. It might mean that you guys are not, I mean, I don't know, but it seems like you love, like obviously you love being a mom.
Yeah.
And so my like, maybe you're not done. Maybe, like, you guys are still in that phase of maybe there's maybe a few more coming.
First of all, I love that you say that because I know I'm not done. Like I definitely want 4 kids and I'm open to adoption. Doug had to stop out for a second, but so it's just you and I'm wide open for adoption, but Doug isn't. Like he's a little scared of it because he's scared. I would love to talk to you all about that. And I have that planned because I know that like you, I know that you had biological children and then you adopted your daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would love to hear all about that. And I don't know that we have enough time. I certainly don't want to take too much of your time because, you know, I know that you're sick. But I'm going to go ahead and start the introduction because now we've been chatting for almost 10 minutes. And I honestly might even just leave this conversation as is because I like having just a real honest to goodness conversation with someone and then just sharing it. Like it doesn't have to be super edited and, you know, all the things. So, and I just love what we've already talked about. So maybe we might even just share this all. But in any case, I'm going to do an official introduction for you, Gina, and then we'll hop right into the interview. But yeah, and Doug is back now, just FYI. So, all right, today we have an absolutely amazing mama on the podcast. She's not only a mama to 4 kiddos, but she is an ultimate boss babe. Her family is truly the modern all-American family and is so inspiring and radiates positivity over on her Instagram page. Gina and her hubby are an interracial couple with 4 beautiful children, 1 adopted and the others are biological, but they're all loved the same. Hey, Gina, welcome. We are so excited to have you on today.
Hey, Jamie. Hey, Doug. You guys are so sweet. Thank you. I'm so excited to be chatting with you guys today.
Well, we were just chatting just a wee bit prior to officially starting this interview, which I feel like the listeners are, you guys are already going to know because I might just leave it because I really think that it's important in all aspects of life to just be as transparent as possible. And I think it's kind of fun to like know the behind the scenes. So I think you may have already heard what we were just chatting about, but just in case we edit it out for whatever reason, if we have to, Gina and I were just talking and she had just announced on her Instagram page that, you know, unfortunately she has suffered a loss and just my heart goes out to you because I mean, the thing about the pandemic is that it, like, even though our lives are so much more isolated and everything is so much scarier. I mean, things like miscarriages are still happening. And then it's like the added stress of, you know, do you go to the hospital? Do you, can you go see a therapist? Can you see your family to talk about it? I mean, I just can't imagine what that must have been like for you to suffer through within a pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, even talking about it still gets me teared up just because this was the second miscarriage, and you'd think like, okay, I already know what to do. My husband's a nurse. I should know what to do. And obviously, even though you know what to do, it still hurts very much, though, as much as the first one. And it was just kind of hard because no one knew we were pregnant because we're at home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't see friends or family. And so it kind of seems like this kind of blessing, like, oh, I don't have to go anywhere. I'm pregnant. This is great. I get to just enjoy my pregnancy at home. But then in reality, I didn't think about maybe even the thought of like losing our child and then having to go through that alone as well. And so it just made something that was like, it made an experience that already feels very alone, where you already feel like you did something wrong, you're the one that you're losing your baby, and then you're doing that completely with no help, with at least no emotional help.
Yeah.
You can't go over, you can't pop by a friend and just say, hey, I just need a chat, which was what I did with my first miscarriage. I had a friend who I would just pop over her house every single time where I couldn't feel like I could handle it. And she was just like, just come over. And I couldn't do that anymore. And what made it even harder was just that we just moved a couple months right before the pandemic. And so we don't have any friends or family here. And so it was literally just Drew. But Drew's also going through it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy. He handles it way differently. And I knew he was, I knew it was hard for him too. But he processes things differently than I do. And so it's just going through anything through the pandemic, it makes it that much harder. And this was definitely one of those things that was harder.
Absolutely. I'm so, so sorry for your loss. I feel like there are never any words other than just like, my heart goes out to you. And I saw that, you know, really my heart just broke for you. And, you know, I've been thinking about you and just, you know, sending positive vibes your way. And on a positive note, yeah. And on a positive note, I had no idea, but you had just shared that you're pregnant again. So congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you.
How far along are you?
I think we're coming close to the end of the first trimester. And so, so early, but because of my last miscarriage, it was my second. And with the HG that I also suffer from, we're doing a lot more monitoring. And then I've actually had to go on progesterone my first time ever in my whole life.
Mm.
So we're doing progesterone and baby aspirin and a lot more ultrasounds. But so far, we're doing really, really good. I'm very blessed to be able to say.
And, you know, with the pandemic and everything, is your birth plan different than when you had your other children?
So what's really funny is no matter what kid I've had, I've always decided to do something different with my birth plan. So just because I feel like with each pregnancy, I'm able to handle more. And with each pregnancy, I learn more about myself and I learn more about pregnancy and delivering. And so I'm changing my birth plan, even if it wasn't the pandemic. And so it's changed, but that's just because I like trying new things and I like doing different things.
Okay. I'm curious now, what's your birth plan?
So last time I was able to finally, after two pregnancies, is able to go unmedicated.
Uh-huh.
But this time I like to do unmedicated without all the pain and all the screaming. And probably without nurses and doctors on the way, too. So I have all my babies sunny side up.
Oh.
And instead of delivering my babies like how they're supposed to be delivered, where they are delivered head down and then they turn around to deliver their shoulders,
uh-huh.
All my babies have always been sunny side up, which makes it a lot more difficult.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's just how my body is like made. For some reason, the easiest way for my body to be able to deliver the babies has always been sunny side up.
Oh, interesting.
And so and I haven't done a lot of research beforehand on why that is. The only thing they can think of is just my anatomy. But it's made birthing really difficult for me,
mm-hmm.
because I can handle contractions, but I can't handle the actual delivery. And so this time around, I'm trying to have a more peaceful, calm, like, delivery. So no medication, just more peaceful. We'll see how it goes. And then I've always wanted to try encapsulating my placenta. So doing some of that too. And so those are some of the things that I've wanted to do. But of course, I've done like delayed cord clamping and immediate skin to skin. And then, of course, like walking around. I haven't done the like taking a shower or anything like that, but that might happen. It just usually depends on how I feel.
Gotcha. Wow. I love that you are so open to
adventurous.
Yeah. And I love that you're just learning kind of with each pregnancy, because honestly, it's same for me. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a labor and delivery nurse. So I've worked in the hospital for labor and delivery on the labor and delivery unit for years prior to having my own. Well, I even did actually with Henley. But in any case, I never thought I would want to do a home birth, but then I did. And I know exactly what you're saying by, you know, wanting to have an unmedicated birth without like the scream, like, it's honestly just like anxiety, really. Like, of course it's painful. You know it's painful. You prepped for that. But it doesn't have to be this like huge, fearful thing. And, you know, whenever we have another baby, God willing, I pray to God we can. That's kind of my same exact birth plan. It's like, I want to be able to do it unmedicated, but I want to be able to be a bit more in control and a bit more confident and in a better headspace. So, and I know that it can happen. So I'm giving you all the props, girl. I'm giving you all like the virtual strength that I can give you right now.
And I think it's kind of, your kids kind of get a unique perspective too, because each has its own unique story and it makes each pregnancy memorable. I mean, it's always going to be memorable anyway, but you know, each kid will have its own different entrance into this world.
Yeah. And for everyone listening who's like, I don't, you girls are crazy. I just want to be at a hospital. Give me an epidural. Honestly, I hear you too. And I think that that's just as amazing and it's perfectly fine. Like at least for Hendrix and I, when we had our son, like there was a bonding like no other that happened. And you can give me all the pain in the world. I want that bonding with my baby. Like I just felt so, and I still do, like feel so connected. It took me a while to get there with Henley. And I don't know if having an unmedicated birth is what made it different or not. But yeah, I'm here to support pregnancies in hospitals with epidurals because I feel you, girl. Or if you want to be more adventurous, I don't think adventurous is the right word, but if you just want to experience, I don't know, raw motherhood, I guess, in the sense, I don't know if that's a right way to say it, but it's just like, you know, we've been birthing babies. Women have been.
Back in my day, we didn't have medication.
No, but seriously, women have been birthing babies, you know, unmedicated for years. And so, you know, it is nice to kind of get to that raw, vulnerable state with you and your baby. But switching gears here, I just wanted to say that the conversations that you have on your Instagram page are so incredibly important. I think there are topics that some people can't even necessarily like, give insight on because they're not familiar with it. But I feel like we all need to be exposed to it and educated about it. I mean, you talk about adoption and race and just raising kiddos in general. And I just wanted to thank you for shedding so much light on that and being so open and honest with your family and kind of, you know, just sharing so transparently with us.
Thanks. It's funny. I started documenting our like family or documenting our journey cause through adoption and our interracial family and just being a Black mother to biracial children and then a white daughter about a year and a half ago. And I started documenting just because I started getting questions and I started getting looks and I started realizing that I was getting all these looks, people questioning because of the fact that like we look different and I know we look different and people started questioning whether or not I was my daughter's real mom, quote, unquote, real mom.
Right.
And it was hard just because I think some of those looks and questions we got was because they weren't used to seeing people of color adopting. They weren't used to seeing people of color with biracial and white children and it be like a regular mom that you would see that you would normally think of. And I wanted to talk about just being that kind of mom and just having people just see that. And I hope that when people see that more often, when they would maybe see another mom, a Black mom with a white daughter, or another Black mom with lots of kids that didn't look like she could have been the biological mom, that they would think, oh, like, that's her mom. That's right. Mom. Like, there are other families that look like that, and they don't have to look like the traditional family, and that's okay. I don't need to call the cops or question in front of that mother, and like question that mother in front of her children. I just wanted what I got to be less for the other families that have to deal with it too. I mean, that was the only thing I could think of, was just to talk about our family more when other people see our families like ours, that they can think, oh yeah, I know this family on Instagram that looks like them, that they're just family just like us.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick question on that. Did you actually get questioned in front of your children if you were the mother?
You'd be surprised how many times I get calls or how many times I get people come up to me or say things behind my back or even say things in front of my daughter.
I think it was brilliant what you put on Instagram with you and your daughter having the song, and then you had the writing on there, like, are you the mother? Yes. Are you the nanny? No. I think it was just a brilliant, fun way to bring people together and just to see it.
Yeah, thank you. It was kind of one of those things where it was like one day I'm like, I think I had just a neighbor, because we just moved here to Dallas, and we had a neighbor who I had just dropped off our kids to school. And so I was walking back from the school, and we were just chatting, getting to know each other. And then the very next morning, she saw me walking the kids to school. So she actually saw me with the kids this time. And she's like, oh, these are your kids? And she's like, these are all four of them? And so you see her, like, kind of scan them.
Oh.
And then, of course, who she stopped at. And she's like, well, even this one? And I looked at her, I'm like, when I say all of these are my children, all four of them, yes, all four of them are mine.
Yeah.
And it hurts me because I wish she could have done that just with me.
Yeah.
Like, not because it starts to put questions in my children's, like, head.
Yeah.
Like, why is she, it's not even just my daughter, the obvious one that she's, you know, but it's my other kids too, where they start to, why are they questioning about my sister? Like, mm-hmm. why is it they only ever question that mommy's, like, why are they ever only questioning about her? And that's really hurtful for me, because they don't always say anything to me, but every once in a while they say something like, mommy, why did that lady say that? Like, she's our sister. Doesn't she mm-hmm. know? Like, I thought everyone knew that she's ours forever and ever. And that's hard, because I think about the other families, the other wonderful families who have transracially adopted, and they don't get as many questions. They automatically get the, oh, you adopted, that's awesome.
Right.
Which adoption is just adopt. Like, I don't see it as this big thing where, like, I've done this grand thing that I should be praised and thanked for, because I don't want to be thanked. I did it just because I wanted to be a mom, and I saw a child who needed a home and needed parents and who needed us, and we needed her just as mm-hmm. much. And so I did it because I love being a mom, and I wanted to be able to bring up children and teach them everything. And that's why I did it. I didn't do it to get the thanks, and I didn't get it to look like this extra person. But right. they don't get as many questions as I do, and that's just hard. That's just hard.
Yeah, just to like kind of clarify, because I think that it's important to, like, Madonna doesn't go out with her, we'll just say, someone famous. She doesn't go out with her, I believe she adopted a son, is that right? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She doesn't go out with her son, and no one says, is this your son? Are you sure this is your son? You're the nanny? Like, no one says that to Madonna, because she's white, and she's famous.
And she's
so,
really famous.
Yeah, yeah, as everybody knows. But I think, just to clarify it, I think that it's, you know, like, no one would go to a white woman with a black child and say, are you the nanny? Like, they just wouldn't. So why would you do that to a black woman with a white child?
And I think, unfortunately, it's not something that people see every day. And I think it's something like what you're putting out there that's going to help change
Absolutely.
The perspective from people, because it shouldn't matter to other people. It should have zero weight or zero thought whether you're the mom of this white child or not. And, you know, I just think of it as I wouldn't want to go around all day thinking about it or thinking, okay, well, that person's looking at me this way. So,
yeah.
you know, like, that would kind of like really fog my mind a bunch. And you seem to be very good spirited, and you have a really good soul, because it really does radiate off of your pictures and your Instagram page and your energy. And that's really where you got on our radar for sure.
Yeah.
And just even piggybacking off that, though, now that your kids are a little bit older and can have these conversations, I guess, how did you bridge that conversation, or did you and your husband prepare for the day where you would have to have that talk?
Okay, so pardon the interruption, but before we get to that, I want to give a couple shout outs to, and I said this before and I'll say it again, I love when Jamie wears her Sweaty Betty dress pant yoga pants. She looks amazing. Her butt looks great. And quite frankly, she's more comfortable. And the times that we're living in now, comfort wear is the new work wear. But whether it's working or yoga or just running errands or lounging around the house, Sweaty Betty has your backside covered. And if you go to their website, they have a ton of different options, but Jamie's favorites are these Gary pants, which have a relaxed fit, sweat wicking fabric, and fitted cuts. And Jamie's always worried about this whole muffin top type thing, but super flattering waistband, and they are extremely lightweight, not bulky at all. And these can be your everyday pants. And we have a discount code for you to start off the new year, which is Sweaty Betty's best offer anywhere. If you go to sweatybetty.com/HMCP, you can use the code HMCP at checkout to get 20% off your purchase. That's sweatybetty.com/HMCP. Our code is HMCP at checkout. You get 20% off. sweatybetty.com/HMCP, promo code HMCP. Now, our next sponsor is March of Dimes, and this is more of a raising awareness to help prevent birth defects among all women of childbearing ages and their family. Now, the theme for National Birth Defects Prevention Month for 2021 is best for you, best for baby. And healthy choices are more important now than ever, especially if you're trying to get pregnant in 2021, as we all continue to face the whole COVID-19 pandemic. And something, quite frankly, that hits very close to home, bringing a baby in during COVID-19. But some research shows that pregnant persons might have a higher risk for severe illness or death from COVID-19 compared to non-pregnant people. And birth defects can come from genetics, behavior, social and environmental factors, and not all birth defects can be prevented. But we do know that if we adopt certain healthy habits, it does increase your chance to have a healthy full-term pregnancy, like protecting yourself from COVID-19. Be sure to take 400 micrograms of folic acid every single day, which is a B vitamin proven to help prevent some of the major birth defects in brain and spine. Try to get pregnancy checkups. And of course, avoiding substances that are harmful during pregnancy, especially within the first trimester. So Jamie and I encourage you to join the conversation about National Birth Defects Prevention Month by following hashtag #BestTheNumberFourYou, #BestTheNumberFourBaby on social media and visiting the March of Dimes website at marchofdimes.org or NACERSANO.org, as well as the CDC, which is cdc.gov/birth defects, to help educate and generate awareness among women of childbearing age and families about actions they can take to help prevent birth defects.
Okay, I want to mention one of our sponsors that has completely changed a healthy habit of ours, which is the Mashi app. Now, Jamie and I have struggled to put Henley to bed at a decent time. And before you know it, going back and forth, getting milk and then saying no to milk and then having her cry and then wake up Hendrix and potentially wake up Hendrix. Before you know it, it's like 11 o'clock at night. Now, if any parent has a child that finds it difficult to go to sleep or has anxiety or is waking up several times, definitely check out the Mashi app. It is the number one sleep and mindfulness audio app for kids. Now, I was skeptical about this, but they are science-backed and proven to help kids fall asleep, and they have thousands of five-star reviews. Now, getting Henley to sleep and trying to explain how this is going to be a healthy habit has been an absolute struggle of ours. Jamie and I would set a timer for 2 minutes or 3 minutes and, okay, this is how long we're going to cuddle for. And once the timer goes off, then we have to go night-night. And it worked for like a week and then it just stopped working. Now, when you go to the Mashi app, you have bedtime stories, you have meditation tracks. You can actually see the time of it. And she actually looks forward to these. And before the story even ends, she is out. It is amazing. It is a game changer. I cannot believe it actually worked when I first downloaded it, but I truly stand behind the Mashi app. I love it. It is a bedtime routine for us. You can find and download the Mashi app at the App Store or Google Play Store and get access to a 1 week free trial of Mashi Premium. That's the Mashi app, M-O-S-H-I, and you could download it from the App Store or Google Play Store. Any parent that has kids that are struggling to go to sleep, that have anxiety, or just are looking for some meditation in their life, definitely check out the Mashi app, M-O-S-H-I. It is a game changer for Jamie and I.
So because my husband and I are a interracial couple, we've been talking about race pretty much since the beginning. Mm-hmm. We talk about like how mommy's black and daddy's white. And so I think for our daughter who we adopted, for her, it probably went because she came into our family when she was about 2 to 3 years old. I think maybe for her, it might have been a very big like adjustment because beforehand, she was living in an area that was predominantly white. There was not a lot of African-American and people. And I think for her, it might have been a big adjustment. Mm-hmm. But for the my biological children, we talk about it a lot. And I'm not saying like it's an everyday thing, but I do feel like we do talk about it more often than maybe the average family. And that's just because I think as society, we went through a time where we didn't want to talk about it. It's kind of like that thing stuffed under the rug. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're able to see what it has done to our society not talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I want my children to feel comfortable. I never want them to feel like they have to hide something. And mm-hmm. I never want them to feel ashamed about their color skin.
Right.
And that goes for my white daughter or my biracial children. Mm-hmm. They should never be ashamed of the color of their skin. I think... And honestly, I can even say, like, the only thing they should ever be ashamed of is if they are racist. And I'm trying to bring up anti-racist children. And so we talk about it, and we are just very honest. When our children have questions about it, we sit them down and we say, hey, let's talk about it. We have books. We celebrate a lot of, like, national holidays or maybe not so national holidays. Like, we recently celebrated Juneteenth with homeschooling.
Yeah.
Like, we actually do have Black history. So it's in our curriculum. So we don't just do it for the month of February. We actually do Black history. And so we learn about Black leaders and activists and civil rights leaders often. And it's great because when my kids have questions, they are not afraid to come up and ask us mm-hmm. about it. And so we have gotten the questions where I had one of my children say, hey, so mommy, we're Black and white. Would we have been in slavery? And it was really hard to answer that mm-hmm. question.
Yeah.
But I was really grateful that they felt comfortable even asking me that. And so even though it's hard to have to talk about it, it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the conversation is so important, especially to, if we want to make changes, it has to be the generation below us. And it has to be something that's talked about in every day, not harped on, not focused on, not, you know, that's
but just a way of life.
Just as something that is there and something that is completely normal.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it before on the podcast, and this makes me sound like the most privileged white woman because, quite frankly, I grew up in a very privileged white town. I think that there was maybe one or two, you know, Black kids in each grade. But George Floyd, I mean, it's crazy to me that I grew up my whole life. I'm 34 years old. It took me 34 years to realize that racism is still so prevalent in this country. Like, I know that, you know, people would say it, but I never saw it, like, with my own two eyes in such a drastic way. And so, you know, I forever, when I see a picture of him, you know, his life was not in vain because, I mean, he helped open up so many eyes, as are so many who have suffered mm-hmm. from the hands of racist people. But before I go that route, I also know, like, I've been trying to educate myself ever since George Floyd and what happened. Like, I've just been trying to really sprinkle in just like education for myself. And what I've learned from some Black accounts that I follow is that it's not necessarily fair to ask Black people to educate white people about racism, that they're tired, they're sick of having to educate. It's been happening, like, as far as we can remember, really. And so I just want to be sensitive to you about whether or not it's okay to chat about racism with you. And like, if this is something that you would be, I know that you're super wide open to like educating on your page and stuff, but would you be open to educating a bit if I had a question about anti-racism here?
Yeah.
So I guess like my big thank you for that, because I know that, like, you know, it's for me as a white woman who is clearly undereducated, and I'm trying to educate myself, but I don't always know the best way to go. And so I follow different accounts to help myself. But anyways, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is that when people say that their children are too young to talk about race or that they don't see color, I wanted to know what your response for that is, because I know for us personally, it's so important to show our children diversity, you know, from the very beginning. I don't want my daughter to grow up and then turn 34 years old and be like, wow, racism really does still exist.
Well, hopefully it's gone.
Yeah.
Mostly by
now. Yeah,
then,
for sure. But I feel like it won't be if we don't educate her now while she's younger. And in particular, our young boy, it seems like white men, you know, seem to be a bit more racist than most. And so I'm just curious to know what you think, or even just if you could share, like, what it's like in your home to talk about race and diversity and anti-racism.
Yeah. So, I mean, if someone were to say, like, man, I feel like 5 years old or 4 years old is too young, or even three, I would say basically it's your privilege that you can say something like that. Because I remember as a kid, my parents telling me, hey, don't do this, or you can't say certain things to a teacher, or you have to make sure that you're working just as hard, or you have to make sure that you dress two times better because we aren't given the benefit of the doubt. Mm. And so you might think that it might be too young, but I know personally for me and my family, we've been talking about it. And if we haven't been talking about it, we've been showing our children examples of what they should be doing and how they should be acting. And so it's really hard for me to hear people say that, because they can say that because it's not affecting them. And that's why they can take their time or decide not to talk about it, because why would you want to talk about something that's benefiting you? Or why would you want to talk about something that's not affecting you in any way? Well, for me, it affects me. I mean, I've even shared a story about how we thought my grandmother was suffering from a stroke, and my mom took the time, instead of just taking her to the hospital and taking her to the ER, she took the time to make sure everyone got dressed and looked their best, and pretty much their Sunday best, before we went to the ER. And that was because she was taught at a young age that if you're Black, if you might look like you just came off the street and you don't look like you're in your Sunday best, you might not be given the best care because they might think that you're not worth it. And I've always thought that as well. Like, if I have to go to the ER, I have to make sure that I am looking a little bit better. I can't wear just a hoodie or anything like that, just because I want to make sure I'm getting the best care. I don't want them to think that I'm just someone who just walked in there. I just want to make sure that I get the best care. And so I've been teaching my children maybe a lot of the things that I was taught as a kid, but then also I am teaching my kids a lot of the things that I wish I was taught as a kid as well. And so we do, like I said, I homeschool them. We have a Black history curriculum that I teach my children, and we talk about it very openly. My kids, I know this might be hard for some people to hear, but my children, they didn't get to see the video of George Floyd, but they did see a lot of the protests. And we made sure that my kids were okay with it. If it was too much, we turned it off. But my kids did see some of it, and they had to see some of it because they don't have the privilege of other kids of not being able to see it and not having to worry about it. Because even though I might know, and my husband might know my children are biracial, and even my daughter who's white, she might look white on the outside, but she's living in a multicultural home, and she knows. She'll get to see some of the stuff firsthand, and we can't just ignore that. We don't have the choice. And so that's pretty much what I would say to someone who says, I think it's too young. It's too young because you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to see it. But it's not too young for us.
So coming off of that, first of all, thank you. Such great information. If I am a mama, white, black, gray, yellow, whatever, and I want to teach my kid about anti-racism, what are some steps that I could take to ensure that my child is growing up, you know, from a very young age to like...
With to more be, of an open mind.
Yes, exactly.
So I actually talked about this a while ago, and the first thing I said is, like, you need to look at yourself and look at the people who you hang out with and the people that you surround yourself with. And if you're telling your children, like, hey, you should treat everyone the same, and you should have friends of all race and color and religion, you yourself should be doing that yourself.
Yes.
Like, your kids are not going to do anything that you're not doing. It just is what it is. I mean, I know we try to tell our kids do better than us, but in reality, if we're not doing it, they're just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I make sure a lot of my own friends are friends of different races, different colors, different religions. And that's really important to me because I always lived in a diverse area. And I feel like I am a better person when I'm surrounded by people who are not like-minded like me. Because I'm a better person when I'm learning from other people and not just learning from the same people who echo the same as me.
Right.
And so I think that's like the first step. But then also, like, I want parents, when you see someone who's a different race, like, as long as like the parents are okay with it, like saying like, hey, your friend is like just pointing out things, but doing it in a positive light. And then even asking your kids questions like, hey, do you have any friends that are black? How do you feel about them? I think so many people are afraid, like, well, you shouldn't ask that or say stuff like that. But I think it's really important because once you are saying stuff like that and you're showing that your kids that you're comfortable with saying certain words, like saying like, hey, your friend is black because they are. That's awesome. What language do they speak? What country are they from? Like saying stuff like that and being just open, I think it just shows your kids that they can do it as well. And so then they'll feel more comfortable and it won't seem like this shameful, very hush-hush thing, like talking about people's like skin or race or nationality or ethnicity, like any of that. And so I think those are probably like one of the first steps is just talking about it and then making sure that you yourself have friends of different race and color. But then I also like to celebrate holidays that are not like my holidays.
Okay.
Like my kids to this day, there was a Jewish festival. We were living in Pennsylvania one year, and there was this beautiful Jewish festival that I was like, hey, guys, they're celebrating a holiday and have wonderful food, and we got to meet new people. And my kids, they were 3 and 4 years old at the time, and they're 7 and 8 years old now, and they still remember it.
Yeah.
And so doing stuff like that makes a huge difference. And you end up growing not only kind children, but kids that just understand and are just more cultured. And I think that's just awesome. And I still have a lot of work to do myself, but I feel like I'm on the right path right now.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the parenting books and articles that you read, it's, you know, recognizing certain situations. And instead of avoiding it and shutting it down or just saying, you know, don't say that, try to explain the why behind mm-hmm. things and yeah. to really, really get the conversation going. So it's not just like, oh, yeah, no, we don't talk about that. Or, you know, my mom and dad said no. So I just that's when the education stops from there. And also speaking about culture, and you're Haitian, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
So as far as raising your children, is that part of raising your kid as well?
Yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of the things that I grew up being able to do or not being able to do, I swore that I wouldn't do it. And then here I am doing the exact same thing. But like my children, they are growing up on some of the same foods that I grew up as a kid. Even in our culture, like we don't allow sleepovers. We just don't. It's this kind of running joke around like first generation Haitian American immigrants. But if you talk to any of them, like, yeah, I'm not going to let my children sleep over a family member's house, homes. But yeah, I am teaching. Like, one of the things that we are doing in our homeschool is not only are we doing Black history, but I actually found a Haitian curriculum that teaches them Creole and teaches them music and how to speak it and how to read it as well. And my children are doing that. And so we hope to actually take them to Haiti at one point. But yeah, we are bringing them up, all 4 of my children. So all 4 of them are learning Creole.
All I know is Maboulay.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Wow, Doug, you're impressing me. I don't know anything. What does that say, hello?
It's kind of like that. Isn't it like nice to meet you or how are you?
So like the literal translating is burning, right? But in a way, you're like, hey, what's up? It's like the response to mampule.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I'm cool, everything. It's, you're pretty much saying, I'm cool. But
burning.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is, I'm cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I kind of wanted to clarify real fast for everyone listening. So you have two biracial kids that you birthed, and then you have your daughter who you adopted at the age of 2.5 or so. Is that right?
We actually officially adopted her last year. So she just turned six when we officially adopted her, but she'd been part of our home and our family since she was about 2.5 years old.
You know, so I was telling you before we started this conversation, I was telling you that I'm like really interested in adoption. I have always, the reason being is that I gained custody of my siblings when I was quite young. And I always felt like we may have ended up in foster care and that no one would have wanted us because we were, you know, teenagers. And I feel like, you know, people just, if they want to adopt at all, it's usually babies and it's not from foster care and whatnot. I was going to ask you what brought in your daughter, who I know you call her White Tiger, what brought her to your family and how did you come about adoption?
So adoption pretty much for Drew and I was kind of like, not whether or not we were going to do it. It's like, when are we doing this kind of thing? And so Drew, his mom's adopted, his aunt's adopted,
oh, wow.
and then his biological grandmother's adopted. So he
was
his family brought together through adoption and watching his grandfather. And then when he tells the story, it's way more eloquently than I ever did just because it's affected him way more. But watching his grandfather and how when he adopted his mother and then his aunt, he saw how much it changed. Like he just saw the change that it did to his grandfather, that it was just like, I'm adopting. It's just happening. It has to, because I want to be the same type of man that my grandfather was. And I think adoption was a huge part of that. And so when we got together, he's kind of like, so adoption, I was like, I have to adopt. Like, I know that's part of my journey. And he was like, okay, good. Cause
that's amazing.
That's what I want to do. I think it was just, I can't say that we're lucky because I know that's not how it works. I just know we were really blessed to find each other because when we said adoption, it was like, okay, we're doing it. When? And so then we prayed about it and we just got this impression that we wouldn't have to go looking for it. It would come to us, which is exactly what happened. We got a phone call and it was like the right time. And we were able to take care of this girl who her parents weren't able to at that time. Not that they didn't want to, they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to be her parents. And it's been a huge blessing to us just because it was a very long journey, but it was completely worth it.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things that I didn't know beforehand, before we actually adopted. And I'm still learning now. And then I still continue to learn because the adoption community is something that, even though it may look like I am a part of this community and I know a lot of people know me as being this like transracial adoptive mom, but I am learning every day. Like I don't know everything and I'm okay with saying that because I want to make sure I'm doing right by my daughter. And that's why I'm okay with saying I don't know everything, because I'll never be open to learning all the things that I need to learn from my daughter if I ever say I know everything. We do have an open adoption. We feel like it's really important. I know it's hard because as parents, we want to say, like, that's our child.
Right.
She is our child. But in reality, she's also her own person. And I think that having an open adoption will not only make us better parents, but have her be a better version of herself, just because she'll get to know all of herself and not just what she imagines, or not only what she hears from us, she's able to know who she is from all of us, and that includes her first parent.
That's amazing.
And so yeah, if anyone ever asked us if we would suggest it, and we always say, like, as long as it's healthy, like it's a healthy relationship,
right.
And as long as it's not harming your child in any way, I definitely think you should do it if it's possible.
Yeah, it sounds like you and Drew were just completely meant for each other. I mean, this It's amazing to see it come kind of full circle and you both being on board when some parents may not have thought that they would adopt, but it sounded like that was just part of your life's mission and your life's plan, and you found someone that it was very close to home, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. I wanted to ask you real fast, what's the biggest challenge you've had to face since adopting your daughter? Because as you know, I'm really interested, and I'm just wide open for more information.
I think the biggest hurdles was probably all the misinformation. Like, you hear stories and you hear, like, people doing things one way, and maybe this is just because every family is different, but every family does things their own way. And so then you're told, like, okay, well, this is how you have to do it. And in reality, not everyone can do it that way. And I think the biggest thing was just me just trying to get more informed about everything. Because when we got that phone call, we just kind of jumped into it. Even though we knew we wanted to do it, for some reason, I don't know why. Like, my husband had been, like, his whole family, he knew about adoption for so long. It just felt like because we were finally doing it ourselves, we felt like we were just, it was a new book. It was something that we didn't know anything about. And mm-hmm. I felt like, I think there's never enough information that you can learn. And so I know a lot of people are like, oh, what book can you read? What's that one book you would suggest? And there's no just one book.
No.
There's no just one web or blog, just because, like, every adoption story is so different. And what works for one adoptee or what works for one adoptive parent might not work for another. And so I think that was one of the things, was just trying to get all the information and finding what was best for us. But I can say one thing that I feel like would work for everyone or any adoptive parent, any adoptee: therapy. That's one thing that we went on very early on. And I'm a huge advocate for making sure that, like, adoptees and adopted parents, so it's not just your child who you adopted, but adopted parents getting therapy as well, because you don't realize how much your child has gone through, and you don't realize how much that you might be going through, because you think, hey, you know, this is just a normal day, or this is just a normal thing. Like, therapy has just helped me a lot, and it's helped my daughter a lot as well.
I couldn't agree with therapy for, I mean, I think everybody under the sun should have someone to talk to who's, like, kind of unbiased and outside the box, because we all have our own things that we're dealing with, and it's just so beneficial. I absolutely love the advice for therapy. And Gina, I can't thank you enough. I know that you're very, very sick right now, and I just had no idea, like, how sick you really were. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much for taking the time out to come on and to being open to educating us, you know, about racism and all of that. I mean, I love also how you say that, like, if you think that you know it all, then you might want to just, like, go, you know, check yourself, because you're never going to know it all. And you should always, I don't know, I feel like we should all always have an open mind to try to learn more and more and more, because you're never going to really know it all. So thank you so much for, in the midst of you being sick and pregnant, you know, taking the time out to chat with us. We really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And, yeah, and if you're thinking of baby names, Doug is a great name to use.
He says that all the time.
Well, yeah, because we don't find out the sex, so this ends up being a boy. Delivery day, then I was obviously really sincerely.
Oh, you're not finding out the sex. Okay.
No.
But she said she's going to consider.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
no,
huge.
No, I know. I don't think that I'd be able to wait to find out the sex until the end.
Yeah, me either. I'm not that patient.
It makes delivery day, at least for me, it pushes me to want to push more. I don't know if that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense, especially with unmedicated births. Like, it's like you're finally going to know, like, you know, I don't know. That's actually a really good point.
And because you have other kids, it's not like you have to prepare with certain gender type stuff. I mean, you have a lot of boy and girl stuff, I imagine.
But I'm all about, I mean, literally our son is in his sister's hat, and pink is a color. It doesn't mean it's girl or boy, if you ask me, but.
It just means lazy parents. That's all.
No, it just means, I don't know, inclusive.
That's right.
What was that, Gina?
Our second, we don't find out with any of them, but our second, we for sure thought she was a boy. And so when she ended up being a girl, she was wearing board pajamas, board clothes for the longest time. And we just knew it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't change our child.
Exactly.
It doesn't make her all of a sudden be a boy. And so if you guys have your son in like pink, you guys are my type of people.
Yeah. He was literally in a pink hat yesterday. And I was like, he'll be fine.
Real men wear pink. I've always said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your wife. Like how you were a little bit afraid of adoption and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I will say this, it might be hard, or adoption isn't for everyone. Like, I know it might be like, well, like, it's the best thing in the world. Adoption isn't for everyone.
Right.
But I will say, you don't know until you start like going through the process of like, and there's a lot of things you can do beforehand before you actually even adopt. Like if your kids are a little bit older, I would definitely look into maybe fostering.
Yeah.
And then doing that. And before you adopt, because then that will give you a better idea if you yourself, Doug, are like ready to adopt. Just because you don't know if you're the person who can until it's time to do it.
I hear you.
But foster gives you a better idea. I'm not trying to like minimize your fear, because it is hard. It's just like, I can maybe even say it's a little bit harder than even like having your own biological children.
I can see that.
Because you are taking a child who has gone through so much, even if you end up adopting a child at birth.
Right.
If you end up having a new, bright and shiny new child, and you end up adopting at birth, they still come with a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's a lot of love in adoption, but there's a lot of trauma in it too. And some of it is trauma that they can't even get away from, even if you tried your very, very best.
Sure.
Right. Yeah,
and maybe not so much. I mean, I guess it would be considered fear and anxiety, but I hate to make the comparison. But somebody else that had adopted two or three children that we had on the podcast very early on when we first started kind of equate, because I brought up the same thing, you know, like I would fear that I wouldn't grow the same love that I have for my biological children. And he kind of said, he goes, I don't want this to come off the wrong way. And I don't equate it to this, but you know, when you get a puppy, you grow to love that puppy as a family member. And I think that, you know, it's totally not the same thing with a human being. And I think part of my fear would be if my heart is not 100% into it, or if I don't feel like it's a calling of mine, I don't want to shortchange
a child. Absolutely.
And adopting if I'm not 100% on board. And it's not something that I would just want to go and just wing it and see what happens.
But that's why I like the idea of fostering, because you're not shortchanging this child at all. Like, they genuinely need a loving home. And obviously I'm sensitive about that, because I obviously was, you know.
You did foster.
Yeah, well, I fostered when I was younger, but I also almost ended up in foster care multiple times. And that's just our own thing, Gina.
We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, we'll
thank
keep you
though,
posted.
Gina. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much on so many different levels. I absolutely love following you myself on Instagram. Everyone listening, if they wanted to be able to find you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me at Gina Wilder, so at J-E-E-N-A Wilder on Instagram, and then on my website, kbearwilders.com, and then I'm also on TikTok as well, on kbearwilders as well.
I didn't know you were on TikTok too. I got to step up my TikTok game. I'm going to go find you on TikTok. Gina, thank you again. And I hope that you're feeling well for the rest of the day and hopefully the rest of the pregnancy. But I know that's probably like a little lofty of a goal when you have hyperemesis gravidarum. Did I say that right?
Maybe.
Yeah, thank you. I'm like, I wasn't.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm a nurse. I was in labor and delivery, but we didn't work with like antepartum, like the early pregnancy. Mostly it was just labor and delivery. But I know that that's like, you're sick an awful lot. And you're not feeling well. And so my heart goes out to you. I'm praying that you have a nice, smooth
second and third trimester.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm excited to find out if it's a boy or a girl with you and to hear about your birth plan. We'll have to have you back on and hear all about it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that I got to chat with you guys today.
Aw.
She's got her hands full.
She really does. I mean, she homeschools 3 kiddos, plus she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, she is.
What? Like, let's take a step back. For anybody that is listening and is hearing this part, just think about growing up, you know, with, and she even said it, you know, her parents having the idea and the thought that, you know, you have to, as a Black person, you should dress up to impress because you want to get the best care. And then going through that, going into a, and falling in love and having an interracial relationship, there's challenges with that, adopting a white daughter, and then the challenges of that, and how amazingly positive and good-spirited she is. I mean, that really makes my heart happy to see that there's people out there that are that genuinely happy and excited about life.
Honestly, it also kind of puts what your struggles are, I'll just say it for myself, it puts my struggles in perspective. And I know that we all, our struggles are all valid, and you know what is difficult for me might not be difficult for someone else, but that doesn't make it any less difficult for me.
Right.
And so all of our struggles and whatnot are valid, but just, you know, that goes without saying. I mean, her struggles as a Black woman and having adopted a white child, or even having mixed babies who are have lighter skin than her, and then being called the nanny when she's going to, like, you know, wherever she's going with her kids. I mean, that is just unbelievable. And the fact that, like, her grandma had a stroke, and instead of just rushing into the car to go to the hospital, they're like, let me first put on my Sunday's best because I want to make sure I get the right care. I mean, these are things as a white woman that I've literally never thought about. And I know that that makes me privileged. And I think it's important, like she said, to just say it like it is. It does make me privileged. And I also think it's so important, like she said, I really loved her tip about, you know, talk about Black kids if they're Black, or, you know, Asian kids if they're Asian. It's not like bad to say, do you have a Black friend at school? Or, you know, how do you like being with your Black friend? It's interesting she said that, because my mom would always go, she's Black, you know, like that. Like
everybody, especially white people, they're, we'll know when it's more of a normal conversation. When you're having a conversation and you don't soften your voice to say Black or African American.
Yeah, which is so crazy because I'm not kidding you. So you guys, a lot of you listening know that, you know, I host Married at First Sight Unfiltered, and that obviously we are Married at First Sight. It was the wrap up of some season of Married at First Sight Unfiltered, and I was at dinner with, this is before COVID, so a couple seasons ago, I was at dinner with Pastor Kale and Dr. Pepper and Dr. Viviana and one other person, I don't remember who it was, maybe a production person. And I remember they were saying that someone from past seasons was dating a Black woman. And I go, a Black woman? And Pastor Kale sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was literally like the, like it was just, it was in my blood, because that's how my mom, my grandma, how everybody talks about a Black person. They go, a Black person? What? Oh, a Black person? And it's like, good God. And so then my face got so red because Pastor Kale goes, why you gotta say it like that? And I was like, oh my gosh, I sound racist, and I'm not, I don't want to be racist. I didn't mean to be racist. And like, and I'll never, ever, ever forget that moment because I sounded so racist, and I'm not racist. I don't want to be racist.
No. And I just want to thank Gina and thank people like Gina that are making it a normal conversation and being out there. And hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We have another great episode coming up next week. Make sure to check our Instagram page at Hot Marriage Cool Parents, or Jamie Ann Otis, or at Doug Hainer. And if you have kiddos, make sure to go to Hanging with the Hainer Kids for some educational videos. Family fun, learning, toys, everything.
Yeah, that is going so well. Thank you guys so, so much awesome. For supporting my hubby's new venture.
Yes, and it's really just me playing with toys. And
but
having
educating.
A channel, but having a channel so it's not weird that I'm playing with toys.
Yeah, that too. But I love the fact that you're educating. I love that our daughter is, you know, she's going to have screen time. It is what it is. But at least she's going to have educational content from her daddy, which is cool.
She participates too, which is amazing.
Yeah, which is so cool. And we love being able to share that with you guys and your kiddos. But Doug, I really wanted to just touch on the fact that you have nothing to say about my conversation with Pastor Kale.
No, I think it's just a moment that you had and you learned from it. That's all.
Okay, because I don't know how to let things go. Like, it still haunts me because I feel like,
happens.
I almost feel like I need to like message him and be like, I'm so sorry that I had
no,
that response.
No.
No?
No, that's like dwelling on it. You know,
how, well, I clearly am dwelling
on it.
Yeah,
but how honestly judge your reaction if that's how you're brought up? Like, you know now that it's wrong, so you won't do it again. thought process, and now it's not. So that's it. You learn from it.
Well, I mean, no, actually, it's the reverse. It wasn't in my thought process. It was just like my honest to goodness reaction. A black person.
No, but I mean, like, that's and that now, was the environment that you grew up in, and yeah. Now you recognize that. So that's part of growth.
That's true. So I guess I should be proud of myself in a way, maybe. Yes.
And wear a mask, people. And
wash your hands. Yeah. We're in the midst of a pandemic, Peter.
That's right. And so hopefully your 2021 is off to a great start. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
We're in a new year for better times.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.